Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, this afternoon, the European Medicines Agency has authorised the single-shot Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine for all adults over 18. This means there's now a fourth licensed vaccine for the European Union's 27 member states. And the news comes amid huge public concern about the stalled vaccination drive here. Well, in a moment, we're going to be talking to immunologist Elizabeth Brint, who is a pathology lecturer in UCC, and also RTE's science correspondent George Lee. But first, let's hear from HSE boss Paul Reid, who's voicing criticisms of AstraZeneca at a press conference today.
Yeah, I think we've been very open for the last few weeks, and particularly with our frustrations with AstraZeneca in particular. I mean, it's been very difficult for us because each week we're trying to be open and giving as much accurate information as we can and predictability for the following week or the quarter. And then every time we're held account and said, well, you've missed your targets. I mean, to give you an example, you know, our one delivery where we'd be expecting 52,000, we would get an early forecast, you know, sorry, that's 26,000. And then very shortly before that, we get an indication, well, actually, it's less than 10,000. So that's the environment in which we're trying to operate, and we are being held accountable of missing our targets, which is bizarre. So, you know, our confidence levels have been fairly rocked with them in terms of deliveries and supplies. So that's an ongoing dialogue with them right now.
Well, I'll turn to yourself, George, first on this. And I was watching Paul Reid at that HSE press conference earlier today, or the briefing. And really, he didn't make any attempt to hide his frustration, did he, as you can hear there in that clip. And he does seem to be firmly pointing the finger at AstraZeneca for many of the delays that we've seen.
Well, he does, because the HSE gets it in the neck every time one of these targets is missed. And what they have made clear, and they published all the data even earlier this week, that they are getting out effectively 95% of what they have available within the week in which it is delivered to them. So every time a target is given and it isn't achieved, it tends to be as a result of AstraZeneca calling them at the last minute and saying, oh, sorry, your order is much, we're going to deliver much lower. And I am fairly of the view now that this isn't the last we've heard of it, that is quite possible there will be further delays, probably even very soon, because the nature and the tone of what Paul Reid has said today was quite strong. So they're obviously very, very annoyed about the whole situation.
Did the HSE take any share of the blame at all, or do they anticipate or recognise that there's anything that they're doing that could be done better?
Well, obviously, there are issues in relation to some of the kind of which GP will get their vaccine doses today or tomorrow and so on. That has been raised and has been gone through over the last number of weeks. So nobody is under any illusions that there are some logistical issues that have to be sorted out from time to time. But in terms of the delivery of the vaccines, the amount of that they get in versus that is not something that they have any control over. And, you know, we have heard today that we're going to get a few more 46,000 extra from Pfizer before the end of the month, which is really good news, but we're getting the opposite news all the time from AstraZeneca, and it is a big issue for them because, you know, you're giving the nod to GPs that you'll have AstraZeneca next week, and then suddenly at the last minute, say like last Friday, they get this very last minute notice, sorry, it's not coming. And the GPs then feed them back and say, listen, this is very inefficient and so on. But what can they do when they don't have it? They don't have it, because there's no question that they are getting out what they can get out as quickly as they can. They need to hold back two things. They need to hold back because they have a deal with Moderna. Moderna said to them for the vaccines that they have given them that they would, and I think there's of the order of 40,000 delivered so far, that they have asked them to keep back the second dose for people. So they have to keep that in storage. If you get the first dose, you can't be sure when you're getting the second dose delivered, so hold it back so that everybody who needs it within 4 weeks has it. And the second thing they have to hold back is a supply for next week, just to make sure that people who might be on second doses next week, because after 4 weeks of Pfizer, you've got to get your second dose, make sure you got some there. After that, get rid of it all. And that has been their approach so far. So, and all of the data suggests that's what they've been doing.
Okay, and given supply does really seem to be the issue at this point, did Paul Reid address the Johnson & Johnson approval today, or what difference that might make in terms of our plans?
I think Johnson & Johnson is down the line for them. I think AstraZeneca is the one that's here and now. It's the battle that they have. The Johnson & Johnson delivery expectation is of the order of 600,000 doses in the second quarter of the year. That means April, May and June, and maybe 2 million or a little bit over 2 million in a full year. So, but we're not going to be getting that in the very short term. You might get some of it by the end of April, and there's certainly more by the end of May and certainly more by the end of June. So they're dealing with what they're dealing with now rather than looking ahead like that. They're hoping next week to do, and again, this is indicative of the difficulty which they have in terms of being predictive because of the AstraZeneca situation. They were only able to give a range of the amount of vaccines that they'll do next week, somewhere between 75 and 85,000, depending on supply. Now, if they get them in, that would be 50,000 or thereabouts up to that, distributed to the GPs for the over 70s in the country. That's the one that they're giving the AstraZeneca. That's the Pfizer and Moderna. Then front healthcare workers, somewhere between 7 and 11,000. AstraZeneca, you don't know exactly how much they're going to get. Medically vulnerable people, again, 15 to 20,000, a range. They don't know where they stand on AstraZeneca. So it is very frustrating for them when it comes to planning next week. And they do get the blame on themselves, but they're putting it out there. It's not down to them, it's down to the supplier.
All right, George Lee, thank you very much for joining us with that. I'll move on to yourself, Elizabeth Brent, and you heard what George Lee had to say there about what we're dealing with currently, but a lot of focus on Johnson & Johnson and what difference that might make. It's a single shot vaccine. It's been approved by the EMA. As I say, it's a single dose. How significant is that fact that it's a single dose?
Thanks for having me on, Sarah, to talk. It's a good news story. It's another good news story on the vaccine front. So it's great. Look, I refuse to say it's a game changer because all vaccines are game changers at the moment. But it is a slightly different setup, as you said. It's a one-shot vaccine. So as your reporter, George Lee, just said, we're due to get 6,000 doses into Ireland in Q2. But when we've been talking about other vaccines with those doses, they need to be there. There's twice the number as needed, whereas when we get 6,000 doses, that's doses for 6,000 people. So that is good news. The other good news about this vaccine is it's 4-degree storage. So that's in a normal refrigerator. So that's going to make transportation and widespread availability much easier. It's going to be really useful for rural settings, useful for example, our island doctors, you know, the GPs on the islands off Ireland. So this is really, really good news.
Okay, well, talk to us about the efficacy of the vaccine then. The EMA said today it was about 67% effective, which strikes me as quite a bit lower than the rest of them.
Okay, so as ever with efficacy, you just need to be a bit cautious. So it's 67% effective at preventing moderate to severe COVID. It's 85% effective at preventing severe disease, but Sarah, it's 100% effective at preventing hospitalization and death. That was the results from the clinical trial, which is 44,000 participants over the US, South Africa and Latin America. And really importantly there, we got really good results with that vaccine in South Africa and Brazil, showing good efficacy for those variants.
Okay. So, and yes, how does that compare to the others? Because, you know, there's a lot of people looking, saying, for example, I don't want AstraZeneca, I want Pfizer. Not that anybody's able to choose at this point. And I know we've been told by medical professionals the best vaccine you can get is the one you can get into your arm as soon as possible. But people are interested in the comparisons between them. So, I mean, 100% effective at preventing death is obviously a great record. But in terms of preventing illness, how does it compare to the others?
Yeah, so, I mean, those numbers at the top there, they're very comparable to the other. I mean, you don't get more effective than 100% preventing hospitalization, so that's a really good number. The 85% of preventing severe illness, that would be slightly lower than the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, which is roughly 92% for severe illness, and then very comparable with the AstraZeneca vaccine. So, overall, an excellent vaccine. You have to remember their internal targets when they start developing these vaccines are normally roughly anything above 50% or 55% efficacy. So this is a good level of efficacy of the vaccine.
Sure. Okay, and you mentioned AstraZeneca there, and there have been some criticisms, as we were discussing with George, about the supply that we're getting here and everyone wanting more. But there are also other issues around it today, because the Danish regulators have suspended the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine because the authorities there are concerned about a potential link between the vaccine and blood clots. What's your assessment on that?
Yeah, okay. So this is based, there was a report a couple of days ago from Austria of somebody who very sadly died a few days after they had received the AstraZeneca vaccine, and they died from this event called a blood clot, and that's where blood clots in your artery and therefore stops the supply of blood to your heart or your brain, and so it can cause death. This is a very unlikely side effect. There's no particular reason. It hasn't been officially linked to the COVID-19 vaccine, any of the 19 vaccines. And so this approach being taken by Denmark and the other Scandinavian countries is a very super cautious approach based on some very isolated reports. Okay. So blood clots occur naturally. They're not uncommon. And you have to probably look at the numbers that we're dealing with now. So we've had 11 million doses of the COVID-19 AstraZeneca vaccine delivered in the UK. We've had 3 million delivered into arms across Europe. And there has been no increase in the reported number of blood clots. So this is a very, very hyper-cautious approach being taken by these countries. They're going to pause and wait and see if there is any established association, but it would be astoundingly unlikely at this point.
Yeah, we have a statement actually to hand from both the UK regulator, the MHRA, and the EMA have both come out on this today.
Yeah.
And they're both effectively saying, I won't go through the details of what they're saying, but they're both saying that as far as they are concerned, it is fine to continue to take the vaccine. And they're encouraging people indeed to continue taking the vaccine. The UK regulator is saying it's a precautionary measure. It hasn't been confirmed that the report of a blood clot was caused by the vaccine, and people should still go and get their vaccine. And the EMA is actually saying that the number of blood clot events in vaccinated people is no higher than the number seen in the general population, according to them. So that's what
I would agree entirely with that. And I think it's very important to note that as well, that these incredibly efficient, important regulatory agencies are fully backing this vaccine, as indeed they should be. So any medicine can cause a side effect in some people, but then identifying an association, there's incredibly, incredibly low levels of side effects being reported with any of these vaccines, thankfully.
All right. Elizabeth, thank you very much for speaking to us this evening. That's Elizabeth Brint, who is a pathology lecturer in UCC.